A series of interviews with leaders involved in Southern Sudan's reconstruction showed considerable knowledge of the challenges ahead for the fledgling nation, but differences of opinion over the number one priority. Sarah Johnson is an official with the Carter Center, which engages in democracy building, election monitoring, and other activities. She says the priorities are many.
The basics of making sure that it's a stable, peaceful state, and focusing on the basic building blocks of education and health services and expanding the basic government services out into the regions.
The head of Juba University, Agre Abate, said developing agriculture will be vital for a country where only 4% of the arable land is under cultivation and millions of people need food aid to survive. He says his university can play a major role in this effort.
Agriculture is a very important area, and we as an institution will have the role of producing those who will come out and work in the agricultural sector in terms of the necessary interventions that need to be made to improve our food security.
William Deng heads the Demobilization Commission that is overseeing the return of 90,000 former fighters to civilian life. He says training and education will be vital to the demilitarization of society.
Most of the soldiers that have come out are uneducated. They don't have skills. The skill they know is only soldiering. Now you must train them with life skills such as carpentry, making bricks, and also small agriculture or microfinancing.
An economist with the Frederick Abbott Stiftung Foundation in Juba, Mu Ambrose Teek, says a major priority is to build up the new nation's infrastructure. South Sudan, roughly the size of France, has only 50 kilometers of paved roads and almost no public electrical power. It also lacks public water and sanitation systems. Teague says the new nation has the mineral resources and international support to build these structures, but the process must be well managed.
The major priority is to set the governance right. It's very important because that will set up a very good foundation for a democratic system which we would like to have in southern Sudan.
He notes that the lack of skilled public servants slows the delivery of government services, especially at the local level. He says capacity building is needed through training programs and the recruitment of skilled southern Sudanese living abroad. International donors say they are eager to aid the construction of Africa's newest nation. But the U.S. Consul General in Juba, Barry Walkley, says donors, like the southern Sudanese people, want to see results.
The government needs to concentrate on the transparency issue, to be honest with the people, to tell the people how much money is available, where the resources are, and how that money is being spent.
The head of the United Nations mission in southern Sudan, David Gressley, says the government must make great efforts to address the high expectations of a people experiencing freedom following decades of marginalization.
The government will have to be very honest about what they can and cannot do. They'll have to also demonstrate visibly that they're dealing with internal issues of mismanagement, corruption, etc. They need to be able to show that they're tackling those problems so that people believe that if they're not getting something today in terms of services, that they will in the near future.
Gressley notes that parts of South Sudan continue to experience security threats, which he blames primarily on traditional conflicts and the lack of administrative structures to deal with them. But he says these eventually will be resolved as long as they're not used by political leaders to advance personal agendas. Scott Bobb, VOA News, Johannesburg.